My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Super trip to Florida State. Really enjoyed Tallahassee. Obviously, when you win, no matter what else happens, you're going to have a great trip. But it was fun. Big contingent of Tiger fans. Got to tell you, Friday night ended up at Bowden's.
Okay.
Coach Bowden's place, or named after Coach Bowden. Great entertainment area there near the campus. Lots of Tiger fans enjoying the atmosphere and just the whole scene, watching games there. Again, fun weekend, and so proud of Ryan and this Tiger football team.
Yeah, what kind of food do they sell at Bowden's? Is it steakhouse?
It's kind of like a sports bar kind of place.
All right.
Kind of bar food, but really good food, yeah.
Gotcha, but that was an unbelievable.
I had a chicken sandwich.
There you go. That was an unbelievable win. 20-12. I know some people will say, well, Florida State's no good, and I think that is true for the most part. We'll talk about them in a second.
Yeah.
But this puts the Tigers among probably the top three in the driver's seat for the spot in the group in the college football playoff in the group of five. You have Northern Illinois, you have them, and I think that UNLV has put themselves in a good spot. But the Tigers are undefeated. They're heading into a closer to conference play. They're in a perfect spot. This is where you need to be if you want to go capitalize on this season.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned UNLV and Boise. They both have their marquee brand name win. The Tigers, checkmate, we've got our brand name win. And again, Florida State isn't last year's Florida State team, but it's still the brand. It's still on the road. Quality win for the Tigers, no doubt. Now, let's take it the next step, Gabe. Now, I'm a fan, but I've lived in this world for umpteen million years.
Yep.
Yes, it's a great win. You got to move on.
Yep.
Here was my immediate take. Yes, enjoyed the win. We're celebrating with all the several hundred, maybe thousand or so, whatever the number was, Tiger fans there at
Good contingent.
Really good crowd of Tiger fans. Now you got to back it up. And for me, that translates to, okay, you got the win. When the year started, you thought, maybe. But if we lose, okay, we kind of expect that. Going in with the way Florida State's been playing, I thought Memphis should win that game. They did. Now you have to go win the conference.
Yep.
No doubt about it, because if you don't win the conference, one, you don't have a chance to have the playoff spot, but also this win over Florida State that's a nice win. But that's all it means.
Yes.
So now you have to build off of the win and this momentum, and that translates into go beat Navy, week to week. I don't want to sound like Ryan or sound like a coach, but week by week by week, go win the conference, or this is just a great memory.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
Yep, 100% agree. And it does kind of stink. I mean, next weekend is a letdown spot. There's a
absolutely.
That is this trap of a game. It's a trap game, 100%.
Yep.
Navy's coming off a week of a bye week. You're riding high off that Florida State win, and you have to go into their place, deal with the triple option, deal yep. with all that entails. So it's definitely tough. One thing, though, about this Memphis team that I think we learned, this defense is for real, and Jordan Hankins is for real.
Yes.
Totally agree with down that. The stretch of that game, in the fourth quarter, just blitzing 5, 6, 7 men consistently, he found his formula. He saw if you get DJU off his spot, you almost render him helpless.
Yes.
And he kept going back to it. And he brought even 6 on the Hail Mary to get him off his spot. I was so impressed with Jordan Hankins and his ability to dial it up.
Yes, and I'm a big fan of Jordan's and the job that he's doing with the Tigers. There in early in the third quarter, when they had the big completion, I thought, uh-oh, here we go.
You're right.
You feel the tenor of the game.
Momentum
changed.
Switch a little bit.
Yes. But that defense, and us old-time Tiger fans are kind of hearkening back to the days of Tim Rose, Joe Lee Dunn, kind of has that feel. And I remember Joe Lee, everybody thought that Joe Lee Dunn blitzed on every play. His philosophy was, it just seemed that way, his philosophy was, we may not blitz on every play, but it's the threat of the blitz
right.
on every play. And that Tiger defense rose to the occasion, got those 2 key sacks there late in the game that almost put it away, but it wasn't over until it was over, to borrow the old line from Yogi Berra, because it did. I mean, it was an 8-point game. It was a 1-possession
right.
game, you know? So, again, until it hit triple zeros on that clock, you know, I wasn't comfortable, but kudos to that defense. I think we've got a real, legit, big-time defense. Jordan and those guys are doing a big-time job. And, you know, their best linebacker, Elijah, wasn't even in the game.
Well,
right?
I don't know. We can have a debate about Chandler versus him,
Chandler,
right?
Yeah. And Chandler
but
had
still,
a great game.
It, but
yeah.
still, he was out. And I thought Bryce Edmondson, who
yes.
Has been here for a while, stepped in and did a heck of a job.
But collectively, again, great group. They're doing a great job. Kudos to them.
4 sacks, 2 takeaways?
Yep.
That's what you needed to do to go win that game.
Absolutely.
And it was damn impressive. And I thought Jordan Hankins, and I, again, I'm not like, it's way early to call, you know, for the Brinks truck to fully back up. But I thought, just sort of watching the way he called defense that entire game and looking at the first 2 games, he didn't really blitz as much as he did in that game. He saw what it was
yeah.
and just took advantage of the situation. I thought he made himself some money. That is a good defensive coordinator. This looks like one of the best defenses we've had here at Memphis since 2014, where it was
absolutely.
Tank Jakes and Barry Odom calling the defense.
Yep.
And who else did we have? Martin Offetti. All those guys on that Miami Beach Bowl team. This
yeah.
is the best defense since then.
Yes, and the plus for me is, one, not only is it impactful, but it also takes pressure off your offense, where you know
yep.
you don't have to go out there every single game and score a gazillion points. So that helps that situation, too, because let's face it, neither team ran the ball well on Saturday. But ultimately, for the Tigers, because of the defense, you didn't have to. And what Seth was able to do and the offense was able to do, it was just enough.
Right.
No, another touchdown or so would have taken some of that pressure off, and they did leave some points on the field.
Sure did.
You got to get 7 instead of 3 in some of those situations, especially when you're playing a team, a brand like Florida State. But they got it done. Kudos to the defense, and I give them the gold star for this game on Saturday.
One of the things that is great about the way they won that game is usually when you play those ACC bodies, those guys that have a bunch of NIL money, these 6'5", 270-pound defensive ends that they had on that side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, Patrick Payton and Marvin Jones Jr. Usually you see an O-line that may start okay and then sort of waver as the game goes along. And you see a defense that may start okay but wavers as the game yeah. goes along. I thought they got stronger in the second half. There was nothing fluky about the way they went and won that game. That's probably the biggest takeaway I have.
And that's a big positive to take away heading down the road for this football team. Back on the Florida State side, just the atmosphere and everything, Gabe, the fact that they were 0-2, not a packed crowd, number one, early start to three, big construction project, very similar to what is happening at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. They're building founder suites, load seating, premium seating. But as I remarked to some of the folks around us, nothing close to what we think of when we think of Florida State football.
Yeah.
And if it had been a 2-0 Florida State team with a packed-out crowd, night game, it would have been a different story. But the crowd, I thought, for the most part, was a non-factor. Yeah, you got the chant and all that stuff, which was cool to experience that. But I didn't think it was that impactful.
Yeah.
Or a big advantage, if any, for Florida State, because their fans were on the quarterback.
Cheering for Brock Glenn to get in there.
Cheering for Brock Glenn to come in. A little bit on Mike. So again, great. Still a fun atmosphere to be in, to experience all that and be there. Special win that we'll remember for a long time. And let's hope it leads to much bigger things down the road.
It'll mean a whole lot more if this team can run the table. Absolutely. I can tell you that. Where does Florida State go from here, though? That's probably the biggest question I have coming out of this game. Yeah, Memphis got the win. That's cool. They have a little more wiggle room for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Even though you don't want to use that wiggle room. But where do they go? I mean, you have Cal, SMU, Clemson, Duke, Miami, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Charleston Southern should be the win you look at, no doubt. And then Florida, like, there is no gimmies for this team the rest of the way.
No. First thing on in that regard, Gabe, I don't get the sense that the Florida State situation is like the Florida situation.
Sure.
I don't think Mike Norvell is on the hot seat, threat of losing his job. Talking to folks down there, one of the things that came up in conversation with this Florida State football team is the lack of leadership. And that's coming out of the locker room. That's player leadership. And apparently that is missing on this team, so I'm told. Short term for Florida State, you mentioned the schedule. They're sitting there at 0-3. You've got Cal at SMU, Clemson. If they're going to salvage this season, Gabe, I think you got to win those three, get even at 3-3 going into the bye. If you're anything less than 3-3 at the bye, then you got real trouble. You got real trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And if somewhere this next three-game stretch, if we don't see or if they don't see Brock Glenn, the young man from Covington, played at Lausanne, if they don't put him in there, I'm not sure what's going on. But I think they will. I think you got to give that kid a shot.
Here's the thing.
You got to do something.
DJU, okay, here's the truth of it. In a quarterback room, the reason I think DJU's played the first three games and they haven't subbed anybody in for him, he may be the best quarterback they have in that room. Now, with that,
they also have a lot invested in him.
True, true.
But you still got to win.
I also think that looking into the future, whether you think he's the best you have in that room or not, he's not your future, and you're already 0-3.
Yes.
What do you have to lose by trying to? I don't know if Brock Glenn's going to be your future. I don't know if the guy behind him, Luke Kromenhoek's, going to be your future. But at least throw him in there because he has a chance to be your future. DJU isn't that guy. You brought him in to try to salvage a season and be maybe a 10-win team. You're not going to be that. That is completely, the ship has sailed on that. So I don't see why you wouldn't at least give one of those younger guys that you brought in, four-star type of guys, I don't see why you wouldn't give them an opportunity. Just give them an opportunity.
I agree. You know, and all of us Tiger fans, at least the folks around where I was sitting in the stands, you know, we all thought that we would see Brock Glenn coming out of the locker room at halftime, coming into the third quarter. They said, okay, let's just see what happens. They didn't do that. They stuck with him. But I agree with wholeheartedly, Gabe. I expect them to give the kid a shot at some point very soon.
Yeah. Now, here's my overarching take on Mike Norvell before we move on to somebody who is actually going to get fired here very shortly. Mike has built up enough good faith to where he is going to survive this season just about in any certain situation. And 1-11, 2-10 starts to get a little tricky, but still, I think he's built up enough good faith. What he had to do is he had to replace 10 different NFL draft picks. Yes. And with that, the NIL funds, I know you say DJU probably cost a lot. Sure, he did. But you have to take those NIL funds, you have to spread them out a little bit. There was a guy the name of Cam Ward, who may be at the top of a lot of Heisman lists right now at Miami, who asked for upwards of $1 million to $1.5 million, $2 million per year. They couldn't afford that because they had to go get other pieces. So DJU was a relative budget move. Now, he still cost a lot, I'm sure, on the NIL open market, but they went and they probably used their budget to go get him. It just hasn't worked out, but that's the risk you run when you have to turn over the roster using the transfer portal. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I don't think that it defines Mike Norvell as a coach. That's my overarching take. I still think he's a great coach.
Because you know, look at his resume and what he's done, everywhere he's been. This is not what he has made his reputation on.
Right.
Now, Florida State, you got to remember, again, I had these conversations, again, talking to some Florida State folks. They certainly understand where their program was when he got there. And it was a mess.
It was.
An absolute mess. So he gets a long, long piece of rope.
Yeah.
You know, chain, whatever terminology you
leash,
want to use.
Whatever.
Leash, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year, obviously a disappointment not making the playoff, but that showed what he can do. So this year, the wheels on the wagon are wobbly. They haven't totally come off. But, yeah, to draw any correlation to what's happening in Gainesville, no.
No.
Mike Norvell's not going anywhere. They're going to stick with him. He's proven that he can win. They just got to figure it out. And, again, for me, looking at their schedule, these next three are big. Got to get to 3-3 by the bye week here.
It's going to be really hard to do.
It's not going to be easy. Nope, I agree.
And I will say, I think we'll have this discussion at a later date. But I think there's coaches that can build their program up and have consistency year after year. And there's also other programs and coaches that will build it up to a couple of years, and that's your window to go take advantage of everything you had. Yep. I thought his window was last year and potentially the year before that. I think we're looking at a guy who is potentially a window coach who tries to build these things up, tries to recruit really well, builds it up to a 1 or 2 year window and sees if he can take advantage. I think that there needs to be more sustainability, but that's something we're going to have to see year over year. That's something you have to learn as a coach.
Absolutely.
Especially, you know, coaching in a place like Florida State with, you know, a conference and a schedule that's going to be a little bit harder than it was at the University of Memphis. Now, let's get to Gainesville. Billy Napier, it's done. It's
poor
completely
guy.
Over. That was a bad effort. There's nothing redeeming about it, and it looks like we have a board meeting. We've had a board meeting, or maybe a couple at this point, about his future there at Florida, and we knew we'd have it. I called this. I predicted before the season this would probably be a mid-season firing. I thought it would at least get to the really tough part of their schedule, but it may not even get
point. Looking at that whole situation, again, there was a lot of smoke on Sunday. There was a reported Board of Trustees meeting with this on the agenda, or maybe have been the only agenda item, but nothing publicly anyway has come from that, at least not as of now. They play Mississippi State this week. Here's my prediction. If they don't meet Mississippi State, I think they pull the trigger.
State does not look good.
Because down the road, it's Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss for Florida. So if they can't beat a struggling Mississippi State team, I think they're done. And that ties into, Gabe, the whole schedule and how the football year lays out. If you wait too long, and, of course, the playoff is in there. Who are you going after? And the national media guys have already started throwing names out there. Lane Kiffin, Eli Drinkwitz, Alec Golish at South Florida, Lance Leipold at Kansas. Here's one. Here's one.
Let's hear it.
I saw this story. Ryan Sutherfield's name came out in one story.
He's familiar with the state of Florida. I can say that.
He's from Jacksonville. Was on a played on a state championship high school team down there in Jacksonville. And when I saw that, I just winced and I cringed and I said, "No, no, don't take my coach.
not right when it's headed in the greatest direction possible."
So those are some of the names out there from some of the national media guys. What? But yeah, it's a mess down there at Florida. And again, we all thought it was going to happen maybe yesterday. It didn't. But my prediction is if they don't beat Mississippi State, I think they pull the trigger. Just to get it done because the year's over.
Yeah, some of the names.
It's not going to get any easier.
Right. Some of the names they're bringing up, though. This feels like a reach for the stars, and
yes,
maybe you end up on your fifth or sixth option, though. I wonder how this works out. There's been even reports about Dan Lanning, and I've heard a lot of people bring up his name in this conversation as a guy who could potentially take that job, but that seems like a pipe dream to me, considering what he's been able to do at Oregon and the relationship he has with Nike and Phil Knight. It feels like that it's made for him in Eugene.
And the first two names that I mentioned that the national media is throwing out there, Lane and Eli.
Yeah.
They're already in the SEC. They're already having really good success. You compare the jobs they have to the Florida job, is not attractive. And it's hard.
Yeah, I think Lane's the one.
Some of those other guys, maybe. Just to have the shot of coaching in the SEC, maybe. Maybe. But as you said, maybe a little bit of a stretch on some of these names that are out there.
What's your take on Lane leaving or not leaving? Where do you think that leans? Where would you lean right now?
I would lean with him staying.
Me too.
I think Lane of 5, 6, 10 years ago,
yeah.
He might jump.
Yes.
I think Lane has matured as a coach. He's matured as a person. His daughter is at Ole Miss, and from everything that I hear, she's enjoying college life in Oxford, which means dad's having an enjoyable life with the daughter being happy and all of those personal things. You got a legitimate shot to be in the playoff and play for the national championship at Ole Miss right now. Why give that up? I think that one is way out there.
And I think there's like when we talk about Ole Miss expectations, I may have my disagreements with Ole Miss fans every once in a while, but one thing I do agree with that they always stand by, they're not that ridiculous with their expectations. Every second or third year, give yourself a chance to be sort of toward the top of the SEC, put yourself in that type of conversation. I think he's exceeding that right now. And then the other part of it is if you look at Lane's history, he's already done the big jobs. He's had the USC, he's had the Tennessee gig. And I know he was a different person then. I completely understand it. Maybe it would go better this time around if he took one of the premier ridiculous jobs in America. But he's done that, been there, done that before, and it looked bad, and he knows that those expectations can chew you up and spit you out in a day.
And again, Gabe, I'll go back to the personal stuff. Now, at his age, and he's still a young guy.
Sure.
But the career he's had, I would think, as an observer, that now it's not about the career and jumping to the quote-unquote big job. You're in the deep water. You're in the SEC. They're the kings of the world. That's why I focus on the personal stuff. The situation with his daughter, the quality of life in Oxford, all of those things. He's making a gazillion dollars anyway. Still has his home in Florida. Still has the boat. And that life is still there for him. But on the football side, I think he's enjoying life in Oxford, and the football's going really, really well. They're really, really good. Why would you give that up?
Yep.
Why would you give that up?
I hear
you. I don't think that's a real.
It's not a smart career move necessarily.
I don't think Lane to Florida is a realistic thing.
Yep. Now talking with Harold Grader, the associate executive director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl on X at Harold Grader. Let's talk Texas football.
Texas
hammered UTSA 56-7. But
can we say it?
I don't know. What do you want to say?
Back?
Oh, they've been back. I don't think there was any doubt about it. I had my doubts going into the season about how many guys they lost, but they look great. They look great in the trenches.
Yep.
They have all the skill players you need, and they even have a backup skill player that we'll talk about in a second. But Quinn Ewers was probably at the top of a lot of people's Heisman lists.
Yes.
Goes down with the oblique injury. Looks like he's going to be out next week. Yeah. They have UL Monroe. Then they're going to move on to play Mississippi State. So they have a nice little schedule to deal with an injury like that. Yeah. But their backup, he has a name. What's that name? Oh, Manning. Yeah. Arch Manning. He looks damn good. He looks really good. So his final stat line, let's get to it. 9 for 12, 223 yards, 4 touchdowns running or passing. Then he had 3 carries for 53 yards. I don't know why they do the lost yardage on sacks, but it's very bizarre. But he had that long of 67 where he took off. I think I saw his peak speed was right around 21 miles per hour.
Ran for a score.
He ran for that long score.
Yep.
And he avoided some of those defenders. Didn't look like any of those defenders were catching up to him either. He has broken the mold. He can throw the ball like a Manning, but he can run the ball. I did not like a Manning. He can really get going.
He runs like Archie. He runs like his granddad. Yeah, sure. Not his dad or his uncle.
I think Cooper said he gets his speed from his mom. But that's a good ball player.
He gets his speed from Archie.
that was pretty damn impressive.
It was impressive. That's what everybody thought Arch would be, and he showed it. He is obviously the future. Ewers is going to be back.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I think he's out this week, and why even? You don't have to put him out there.
No,
I mean they'll do a number on him this week, and then you bring yours back the following week. But Arch again showed what everybody thought he would be. It was fun to watch. Are they the number one team in the country? I think you got to say yes based on what we're seeing on the field. You know, I've been a big believer in. In Kirby Smart in Georgia, and my stance has been you're number one until you're proven otherwise. But what we're seeing on the field and their lack of offense and games that are close and then really shouldn't be, I agree. Hey, this week let's put Texas at number one.
Not a great effort by Georgia. 31-6 is what you had South Carolina beat Kentucky by a week ago. You come in 13-12.
Yeah.
And it
field goals.
Oh, my gosh. Kentucky had a chance to go win that game on multiple occasions. That's just,
Yeah, and, you know, and if
And Kirby was beside himself, by the way. I don't know if you saw him on the side. He was going after Carson Beck. Something for a guy that is sort of listed by everybody as the top 2025 NFL draft quarterback, you don't see a lot of coaches rip into that type of guy like that. He was getting after Carson Beck.
And if you're Kirby... You know what? It's okay not to be number one. Now he's got something to motivate his guys because, again, they aren't playing to the level we all expect them to play. They've done just enough to win, but that's not good enough.
Yep.
That's not good enough at Georgia, especially for Kirby. The expectations are much higher than that. So, okay, put us at number two. Now I got something to put on the wall and motivate my guys. So we'll see.
Yeah,
but certainly Texas is impressive. I think they deserve to be number one at this stage of the season. And Arch, wow, that was fun.
That was very
fun.
That
was fun.
Now, final thing.
Yeah,
it seems like we kind of lost one of our big Heisman candidates. If he's out for 2 weeks, we know that can kill your Heisman candidacy. But we're talking about Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
I mean, let's talk through. I guess we'll make this a think tank, if you will, after 3 weeks. I know that a lot of guys could emerge still. But who's at the top of the list right now for you for Heisman?
You know, Gabe, I think Heisman talk.
This early, I get it.
September is great for radio.
Sure.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Is it that meaningful yet? Nah, in my view, not necessarily. But you've asked the question.
Yes.
So just to throw out names, and this is not rocket science at this stage of the season. Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Milroe at Alabama, maybe a couple of more. You may have somebody else you throw in the mix. But for now, I'd say those guys are are probably the head of the pledge class.
I agree with you. I fully agree because it's a quarterback award ultimately.
Yeah,
that's what they want to do with it, unless there's some extenuating circumstances that keep them from doing that. I'm going to throw one name in there, and this is an outside thought, just an outside thought. I don't think it's going to happen, but Travis Hunter at Colorado, as much as that team we think is going to be what 6-6, 5-7, right, maybe less than that. What he's doing is kind of Shohei Ohtani-esque,
sure,
right? I mean,
sure,
in that game against Colorado State, and you could say, okay, well, they were playing against Colorado State. He had a pick, a PBU, 13 catches, 100 yards, 2 TDs.
That's that one.
It's pretty wild to see what he's doing. I mean, if it truly is best player in college football, he's making a hell of a case for it.
Yeah, but I draw the correlation on the Heisman to the MVP award in any league. It's the best player on the best team, often.
Yes.
And let's face it, Colorado is not going to be one of the best teams in the country. So
what's it? Yeah. Paul Hornung is the only he's the only player to win the Heisman on a losing team.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that was the power of Notre Dame back in that era.
Yes, of course.
You know,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.